Do you feel like your business is running your life instead of the other way around? I'm Roy Castleman. I've built multiple seven-figure companies, worked across continents, and coached high-performing entrepreneurs. But I've also been completely burnt out. At one point, I was barely seeing my daughter, drowning in stress, and one step away from walking away from it all. That's when I made a decision to build a business and a life that works for me. The journey became Elevate 360. A system to help business owners reclaim their time, find their energy again, and get back in control without sacrificing growth. And this podcast, Power Movers, is where I share real stories behind that shift. Each week, you'll hear from entrepreneurs, founders, and leaders who've walked through the fire and come out of the other side with clarity, courage, and a system that works. If you're ready to build a business that gives you more life instead of taking it away, you're in the right place. Hello, no matter where you are in the world, I'm here with George Rivera. And George is a business coach, but let's say a business coach because we're in the same space here. But he's got a really nice way of looking at this. We go through life and our business becomes our prison. He mentioned to me beforehand that his family, he wasn't there for his family and they never asked him to be away all the time. And that really resonated. So George, why don't you introduce yourself to the people and we can go from there.
Thank you, Roy. Thank you for having me. Excited to be here. So I'm a 31-year entrepreneur. I started my first business at 17 years old. I've done over $400 million in sales online. I had the ups and downs of the traditional entrepreneur life. And my breaking point came about 10 years ago. I built myself into this founder prison, believing that everything depended on me and I had to find my way out. Some last words from my dad gave me the inspiration to say, I can't keep going like this, especially at the sacrifice of the moments with my family, the childhood that I can never rewind and get back, like with my own children. Yeah, I more than doubled my business when I realized this has to change. But the more important side is I was living a semi-retired lifestyle after working almost 80 hours a week. So yeah, happy to get into any of that, whatever you and your viewers would find useful, happy to get into it.
I talk about part of my journey and very aligned. Yeah, I was working 14 hours a day, 7 days a week, and two IT companies. I implemented a business operating system, and the business operating system brought me down to 5 hours per week and blew my mind. And there's so much out there for business owners that if they get that point that you made before, you were the bottleneck. Once they get that, then they can start digging into it and fixing it. So give us more about how you help people with this process.
I think about the me of 10 years ago, and we're in marketing. So marketing speak, the ideal person that I can help with is someone who's cash rich, time poor. And cash rich means you're very successful on paper. You've figured out the money game to some degree and you're good there. Time poor means your business gets all your time and your family, if they even get you at all, they get the frustrated, burned out, stressed out, constantly on edge version of husband or dad at home. I'm only speaking for myself. And I know there's a lot of other men out there like me who would pay a small fortune to collapse the time that it takes from being prisoner to semi-retired and being able to pour into your family. Like in my case, I was missing my son's first steps and first attempts to talk and walk. And a lot of those toddler years, I taught him how to negotiate real estate. And he even has a podcast. He's looking at me like, hey, dad, I want to do the things that you're doing. And so I'm throwing him into the fire. And yeah, he might not get everything now, but over time, it'll all click and it'll be the way things are. Yeah, my goal is to open up the eyes of founder dads out there who cash rich, they're successful, they're making it happen on the business side, but their business is paying the price. And it's like the family never asked for all this stuff. Sometimes once you've already gone there, it's hard to unwind some things. I was like, hey, try to take back the houses and the cars and the trips. No, but we also want dad. And there's a way to do all that if you have an intention and systematically, like you talked about, like you did for yourself.
Yeah. And I love what you're doing with your son, because that to me is the heart of all of this. You've learned through this process so many lessons. As business owners, we look at other people doing things and we're like, why can they do it and I can't do it? But will we ask for help? No, we won't. And I often talk about being coachable, right? And yeah, I skydive and I freedive. Probably almost 20 years ago, I bought some wind tunnel time, so the indoor wind tunnel, and invested in one of the first ones in the UK. I bought 10 hours of tunnel time and it's £600 an hour. I went into this and I was like, okay, let's go. I was still quite a beginner. I had a few hundred jumps. And I went in and someone said, do you want some coaching? It's £200 an hour. And I was like, oh, bloody, I'm paying £200 an hour. I can figure this stuff out. And I spent the next 6 hours going and bumping into walls. And a friend of mine took pity on me. He had become a coach recently. And he said, listen, I'll give you half an hour's coaching. I'll just give you half an hour's coaching. And in that half an hour, I learned more than I'd learned in the whole 6 hours before by a factor of five. Right. And that opened my eyes to this concept of you need to be coachable. Don't be so proud thinking, oh, I can do this. Other people have learned the lessons, right? Other people have had the pain. Other people have dug themselves into that hole. So why not learn from that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, somebody else paved the way and you're shortcutting your pathway to your ideal destination, wherever you want to go.
Yeah. So let's dig into one of those subjects, AI. What do you think about AI? What's your mindset now with AI?
Yeah, I know a lot of people can fear AI. Some people are excited about it. I feel like AI is neutral and it takes someone with a plan how to best maximize it. There's a lot of deceptive ways to use it, but on the positive, it can help us automate so much, get a lot of our time back, and be a second set of eyes. I've used it for legal advice, legal structure. I don't think we're ready to fire our attorneys, but I've reduced my dependency on paid legal help as a result of having AI review these operating agreements. Tell me, what are the pitfalls to look out for? Is this fair? Compare the laws in a certain state or a certain region. How will they affect me if I operate in this manner? From helping you craft your marketing message to writing content, I encourage people to train your AI to sound like you so that it's not just like this robotic, soulless voice. People who complain, like, oh, yeah, it's okay, but it doesn't perform. It's the lack of input that they've given it and it's not reflecting who they are. That's fine. I don't think there's a whole lot of manuals out there on how to do it properly. And it sounds like you've got good experience too. It's all about what you put in. Is you can expect the quality to come out.
I think for me, one of the biggest lessons I've ever had with AI, there's two major ones, but the first one is how unclear I actually was, how my communication was so poor. And as a business owner, this is a core concept, right? Because we get staff members in, we know how to do it. We know how to do their job better than they know how to do the job. Big problem number one. And then problem number two, okay. George, please go out and do this. And you have no idea what's in my head. So you go and do a poor job. Suddenly I'm okay, George can't do it very well. And that's not the case at all. I haven't been the correct communicator. I haven't communicated. And AI taught me this because I could see what it could do, but it wasn't doing it for me. So I turned that mirror onto myself and said, right, what are you not doing here? And not only did that teach me how to communicate with AI, but it also taught me how to communicate with my family, with my staff, with everybody else. That was a real big eye-opener.
So many personal benefits as well. And like you said, helping you communicate with your team. One of the ways that I love to use AI to communicate with my team is we've got screen recording tools. Loom is the flavor of the moment, but record how you would explain to somebody on Loom how to do a certain task. And then you put that in a ChatGPT. And then you say, hey, create an SOP for one of my people to follow. And that's essentially cleaning it up and making it into language that it makes sense for me as the owner. It makes sense for the person who's going to be doing the task. I attach the Loom video to the description that it creates. I hand it down to my person. And my attitude is this should never come back to me. But I have 10 minutes. Please watch it right now and let me know if there's any questions or gaps. You want to make sure that it's reflecting exactly your intention. And then 10 minutes goes by. They're okay. Great. You own this thing. Unless we change vendors, strategic change in our marketing or process, this should never come back to me. And if they have a question, they answer it right there and you clear it up right there. But that's how I've been using it.
And that's such a fundamental standard operating procedures. I use Scribe. Scribe is really good. Loom is good as well. The concept that when you're busy dealing with a staff member, I have this great example of this. I'm working with somebody who uses routes. So they use automated routes. So they've got a whole bunch of technicians that go out and they've got to set the routes up, right? And he was like really kind of stressed about this. And as the founder, he was doing this every week, and it's costing him 10, 14 hours a week doing this thing he didn't like doing. So we went through the process, we worked out exactly what his SOP was. We then went through and found out how to automate as much as possible, did that, and then did the SOP again. And he handed it off to one of his staff members. And so the staff member got it, and the documentation was that good that the staff member was a Saturday afternoon and said to his 7-year-old daughter, do you want $20? Just do this. And the daughter was able to do it. And that's what you're aiming for, right? You're aiming for it to be foolproof. So there's no doubt.
And if you ever have turnover, let's just slide right on in and be a, don't lose a step in the process.
So I want to transition now onto my own most important thing for business owners. We don't put ourselves forward. When we start, we're not the most important thing. Our customers, our staff, our business, the sales, this becomes the most important thing. Business owners, if they're not doing this right, the first thing that suffers are the relationships that you mentioned and their own health.
Mm-hmm.
We're a human being. We're an animal that works on stress and no stress. So when you've got your sympathetic mode activated, your fight or flight mode activated, you can't create, you can't be creative, you can't build anything. But when you're in the parasympathetic mode, you can build it. And I became a Wim Hof instructor, techniques, but more importantly, the breath work. And I just realized that my toolbox for my own mental and physical health was lacking. And once I managed to get my energy space together so that every day I have as much energy as possible, I was able to do so much more. But by putting myself first, then everybody else got more. So what do you experience with your clients?
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking for myself, but clients as well, we're always putting ourselves last, at least at the beginning when we don't know any better. And that's why when we fly and they say, hey, in case of emergency, put the mask on you first before your children. Instincts as a parent, let me get the kids first, make sure they're okay. But then it's if something happens to them and you're passed out, you're done. So if we don't take care of ourselves, we've got a family, we've got people that work for us. We need to make sure that our soul is nourished. And if our business is sucking the life out of us, to speak for myself and some of the clients that I've had, yeah, we can't be of much use to our family and to the business and to the people that work for the business, to the clients, to the customers. It has this trickle down effect. Yeah, I think treating ourselves with the love and respect that we deserve, minimizing stress, creating a lifestyle that doesn't stretch us on both ends, having time to breathe, white space for thinking ahead for the future, time to think in the past so that we can make better decisions in the future. And from the family perspective, being present for the spouse, for date nights, being there for games, for the children, and just the everyday moments. There's three times that they say, scientists, but they say that there's three times in a child's day that's, if you're blowing everything and you're not even seeing your kids because you're just working so hard, if there's three times in a day that you could actually just see them for a minute, it's like when they wake up, when they get home from school or camping or some activity that they've been gone all day at, and then between dinner time and bedtime. And just that's the moment when they're most receptive to I love you or proud of you or you can do this or a word of encouragement. And so when we're just drowning in our own stress and our own business, we miss out on all these moments that our family is experiencing. We don't have a chance to put that impact into them. And oftentimes our family could be planning a life without us once they get used to that, because they're used to dad pays the bills, but he's never around. He never comes to the games, or he says he'll go to the game and might as well put it tentative on his calendar if no fire comes up. And yeah, we got to take care of ourselves so that trickle down effect really truly happens, and the ones that we say we're doing it for truly benefit.
And just digging into that a little bit more in terms of the mental cost to us, I found myself in very dark places contemplating suicide, actually standing on the edge of a 130-foot tower getting ready to jump off, and it was the breath work that saved me. Yeah, it really was. What's been your own experience of going down? Because it's not a sudden thing, huh? Yeah.
Exactly. It is deep, dark. You feel alone. You feel like nobody else is there. And the truth is there's others there too that could give you a sense of hope that others have climbed out of it. But yeah, when you're there, it's tough to think that there's others with you. You think you're all alone. And I just need a break. I need a breakthrough, something to shine some light, a path of light I can follow. I've had welcome to entrepreneurship though. It's ups and downs and peaks and valleys. And I've been out of my whole 31 years, probably maybe 10%, maybe 15% of that in deep, dark valleys, where I'm like, what am I doing? Am I doing the right thing? Am I where I'm supposed to be? And I just, whenever first I turn to my faith to give me purpose, and then I'm like, all right, like how can I help and serve others and make them better with the skills that I have? And that usually translates into finding the right opportunity to crawl myself out of it. When I started helping other men, my whole career was direct response marketing. It's put money in, put money out. And then the difference in profit that generates is how I feed my family and live. So this career shift over the last little under a year now of walking alongside men who were where I was 10 years ago is completely new. So honestly, being vulnerable, I was a little terrified. I'm like, this is all new. I can go out there and buy ads and make it work all day long. But now this is getting my name out there, networking, personal branding, making sure that I can put out good content, attract the right people into my world. Thankfully, it's working. But when you haven't done it before, it's terrifying. There's a little bit of that dark times, like, oh my gosh, career shift. There's this phrase, burning the boats. We're burning the boats because we're not going back. I made the decision that I'm tired of doing business the old way. Like, I've sold millions of bottles of pills and I've never had somebody tell me, oh my gosh, this bottle of pills changed my life. Sure, you might get less joint pain, better memory, and that's fine. That's all it's supposed to do. It's not a miracle in a bottle, but I feel like I was put on this earth to have transformational impact. And if I can just help get some more dads back in home with their children so that they can make the impact that they were born to be, maybe even save their family, because the average woman's thinking 2 years for divorce before it actually happens. So who knows where some of these founder dads are. If I can just have an impact on just a few of them, that fulfills and satisfies my soul in a way that never could. So knowing that's what can happen is part of what crawls me out of those deep, dark days, is just having that hope and optimism that I'm put here to help some people. So hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah. And I'll share with you some breath work if you're interested, because I was 49 years old when I learned how to breathe. Yeah. We know that if we don't eat for 5 weeks, we die. And if we don't drink for 5 days, we die. We know how to eat properly. And we know how to drink properly. But if we don't breathe for 5 minutes, we die. The breath connects us to our soul. It connects us to the world. It changes our mood. It changes our state. What pulled me back from the edge was being able to regulate my emotions with breathwork. So powerful, I think we all should do. And have these tools in your toolbox. I get up every morning. I get onto my mat. I do 5 rounds of breathwork. I then do some meditation. I go downstairs to my garage and I do some PT, get into my sauna for a little while, and then jump in my bath. I would never have taken that time before, that hour and 20 minutes. I just wouldn't have taken it because there's too many things to do. But I realized that there's always going to be too many things to do, right? It doesn't make any difference. If you have an entrepreneurial mind, by default, you have some level of ADHD. It's not a bad thing. It's a superpower. And if you can harness it the right way and bring it back to yourself, make sure I make time for myself. I can do 10 times more during the day now than I could have before. Yeah. Just before we wrap up, I just want to touch on your son's podcast. What's it called? How do people get hold of it?
Yeah, his birthday is in 2 days. So he's done all this as a 10-year-old. He started late October, and so far we've recorded 25, 26 podcasts. I think we've got 21 published, so we're 4 or 5 behind. And yeah, it's amazing. He was one that was a little skeptical about AI, not in a fearful way, but in a way of, oh my gosh, AI is teaching us how to think. Kids my age, by the time I'm out there 17, 18, 19, looking for a way to feed myself, I'm going to have a massive advantage if I don't just use AI as a complete crutch. AI is important and we should learn how to use it properly, but it shouldn't completely outsource your thinking. And kids his age, because I see them, his friends, his peers are just literally face in phone 24/7 watching YouTubers do goofy things. And that's fine, but that's all they do. That's their whole life. And so you can't, as an adult, as a father, I can't look at another one in the eye because they just won't look at another adult in the eye. They won't shake your hand. They're afraid of speaking. And my son is the complete opposite. He's homeschooled. He'll look you in the eye. He'll shake your hand. He'll call you Mr. Roy. Nice to meet you and have a great podcast with you. Once it's his time to go out there and look for a job, he's going to be head and shoulders above all the other kids who are coming out of the clouds. Where the heck do I start? If they think that, they might be in mom's basement for the rest of their lives. The thinking behind the podcast is, let's get you out there, start talking, start meeting people, start with my network. And then I know that there's going to be some big famous people that we all know are going to be like, oh my gosh, that kid's doing awesome things. Yeah, he might have 50, 100 subscribers. It's not huge, but he's doing an awesome thing. I want to be on his show. And he's going to be on the show, he or she. And then the notoriety from that's going to explode. And then more people are going to join. And it's going to be awesome. Watch out, Joe Rogan. My boy's coming.
Amazing. We'll put his link below. Maybe I'll jump on there as well.
We'd love to have you as a guest. It's Leo Interviews on YouTube. Search for Leo Interviews. We also have leointerviews.com, which will soon be like his podcast hub page for guests and episodes. And I post on Facebook a lot about it, so anybody could find me there too.
Thank you very much for coming on board. And if you have one bit of information that you could share with people, you know, that are in that situation, what would it be? What would be your light bulb moment?
Absolutely. Find a way that you can serve others. That's the way that I was able to crawl out of the dark days. And one of the things that I tell people, because I've been there at the near deathbed moments when passing is near, my dad told me, don't miss Leo's games. I miss too many of yours. And that's the phrase that completely changed my life. And so I want to tell people, nobody on their deathbed ever says, I'm so glad I blew off my kid's game for that client meeting. By the time you're in that deathbed moment, reflecting back on life, you're not going to remember the name of that client. You're not going to remember the excuse, but you will remember whether or not you cared about being present for your children at those big moments. Maybe it's a game, maybe it's a recital. We're all going to have regrets no matter what. We're human. But the goal is to minimize the regrets that we have by the time we get to our end days so that we can say, hey, you know what? There's some things I could change. But when I recognized that I had to make a change, I did something about it. I can hang my hat up on that and we're good. So that's my hope for everybody listening in. We can never rewind a childhood. We can always make more money, but we can't make our kids younger again. So let's not miss the moment.
Thank you very much for joining me. It's been a pleasure having you. And I look forward to seeing you on your son's podcast.
Likewise. Thank you, Roy. Appreciate it.
Cheers, then.
Thanks for listening to Power Movers, the podcast from All the Power, where our mission is to help business owners reclaim their time, reset their energy, and live the life they love. If this episode sparked something for you, your next step is simple. Take the fit check at allthepower.co.uk. It's a short clarity tool that helps you see where you are, what's getting in the way, and what might be possible if you have the right system. When you're ready, come and join the tribe. Power Movers start with our signature framework called Elevate 360, a system built to help you escape survival mode, create structure, and move forward with power. Just remember, everything we share here is based on real stories, experience, and frameworks. It's not personal business advice. Always speak to a coach or advisor before making big decisions. Because in the end, it's about more than business. It's about building a life that you actually love. I'm Roy Castleman, and I'll see you in the next episode.